Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
So years ago, we used to sing this song. I don't know. I mean, Corey would want to sing it today if I'd let him. That's just a joke between me and Corey, apparently, because nobody else will laugh at me. But it's out of Psalms 51. You know, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. You know, take not your Holy Spirit from me. You remember that? Psalm 51. Yeah, I used to really struggle to sing that song. And something that maybe you don't know about me, if I don't believe in the lyric, I won't sing it. And so, I mean, I'll sit right there and I'll sing everything before and everything after, but if I don't believe in the lyric, I won't sing it, you know? I'm not gonna do that. Or if I'm singing a song and I'm like, I have no idea what the word hallelujah means, I'm going to stop right there and Google it. What the heck does hallelujah mean, right? Right? Because I'm not going to sing something just to sing. I'm not here just to sing. I'm not here just to go through the motions. And you know what I mean? I want to be completely and wholeheartedly invested. Like Jesus is worth at least that, right? In the place of worship, right? Are we okay today? Okay, I'm just making sure you're with me. Yeah, and so I want to be completely invested in it. And so when this line of the song would come along, I was like, man, that's Old Testament. I don't know how thrilled I am about singing that Father God somehow is going to take Holy Spirit from me, you know, and withdraw his presence from me and all this. I'm like, I don't know. And so I would skip over it. I wouldn't sing it. And after some time, just kind of wrestling before the Lord, in prayer one morning, I felt the Lord actually speak to it, and it became super clear that he wasn't talking about the context of salvation. See, in my mind, I thought, what do you mean? I'm in the New Testament. Like, I got Holy Spirit. He's never going to leave me or forsake me, right? Like, Holy Spirit's not going anywhere. He's on the inside. It's like Holy Spirit on board. We should get those signs for our cars. The little suction cup for the back window, Holy Spirit on board. Okay, apparently nobody likes me this morning, all right? I'm gonna have those made up, Stephen. You and me, buddy. We'll have those in our car. Holy Spirit on board. But the idea of Holy Spirit, like, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. How are you going to take your Holy Spirit from me? The one who will never leave me? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then it became an epiphany. I became abundantly aware that Holy Spirit is in me at the moment of salvation. We've talked much about this in this series. But he's upon me with my baptism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he's in me for my sake. He's upon me for the sake of others. And there is a very real sense in which Holy Spirit can lift off of me, can withdraw from me, can retreat from me, depending on my thoughts and my actions, my behaviors. And so my cry became very different. Like David, now I'm going, oh God, like, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And how many of you know, if Holy Spirit is a person, we have a responsibility to get to know that person. We have a responsibility to connect with him. And if there's a sense in which my behaviors can wound him in any way or cause him to withdraw, then I have a responsibility to figure out what those behaviors are and to create a lifestyle that guards and protects my relationship with him. Does that make sense? And I related a little bit, you know, Bill Johnson has some good things to say about it, but in my mind, I've always related it to a butterfly. Have you ever had a moment when a butterfly comes and lands on your shoulder or your arm? Ever had that? Like, my wife freaks out. She's like, ow, get it off! It's going to eat me! I'm like, it's literally a butterfly. It's not going, they bite, I sweat. Okay, it's weird. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's really, pray for her. It's a weird thing. But so if that's not your experience, most of us, when the butterfly lands, we kind of stop everything, you know? You just kind of like, oh, wow, like this is a, wow, look at this. And interestingly, the next thing that we usually do, if there are other people that are around, you want to show it off. So you just immediately dialed everything back. Like, I'm going to slow my movements, and it's like, okay, Melvin, take a look at this, right? Like, the first thing we do is we want to share that experience with others that are around us. This is not unlike our experience with Holy Spirit. The very first thing we want to do is become aware that he just landed on me. See, the very first thing that I do is I have to actually turn aside and go, whoa, wait a second. Something shifted. Check this out. And now I become abundantly aware that all of my actions and spiritually all of my thoughts, that everything that I do right now will either maintain his presence, the resting upon me, or will cause him to lift off and to retreat from me. See, I have a responsibility then, if that's the case, to dig in and find out what thoughts and behaviors cause him to lift off of my life. And here's what I want you to realize this morning. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit would come. He would rest on priests, kings, and somebody else, prophets. Zip it. I'm working here. But he would do it temporarily. So Holy Spirit would come, he would rest upon them for a purpose, but then he would lift off and they would go on. Right? It's only in this period of time now that we have access at any time to Holy Spirit. Now, do you remember one of the marking features of Jesus? It was said of Jesus that Holy Spirit, that Jesus, this is like John the Baptist, you'll identify him because Holy Spirit will rest upon him and he'll remain. I don't believe post-cross in this period of time where God has released Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost, right? I don't believe that we're in a period of time where Holy Spirit is supposed to continue in the same manner in which we saw in the Old Testament, i.e., he would come and rest on you just for a minute and then lift off because he's accomplished his purposes. I think instead, Jesus paved the way and opened a place for Holy Spirit to come so that you and I can actually learn how to live our lives just as we saw Jesus do, where Holy Spirit would rest upon us and remain. I don't think that Holy Spirit ever wants to lift off of your life. And I don't think that what I'm submitting to you is grandiose. You're like, oh, well, yeah, that's great for the apostles. That's great for super spiritual people. No, it's great for you. Like in the New Testament, more than one instance, we see that it says they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not talking about the sense of salvation. Holy Spirit was resting upon them for a purpose. They had created a lifestyle of, okay, he's on me. Let's make sure that everything we do now then is with him in mind. Let's guard this relationship that we value above everything. Remember, we talked about last week, Holy Spirit is designed to be your best friend. Let's figure out how to make sure that our best friend wants to stick around and get to know us a little better. And likewise, that we get to know him. Is this making sense so far? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. We're going to be in chapter 4 today. You can turn there if you like. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We've talked a little bit. I keep hitting it. The Holy Spirit is a person, but it's really brought to a head here in this reality that I can grieve him. Now, the word grieve is literally like I'm mourning a loss. So my behaviors, because Holy Spirit is a person, my behaviors can actually move him into a place where he's grieving over me. In other words, where I'm causing him great pain. I don't think there's anybody in this room who wants to cause Holy Spirit great pain. So again, I think it makes the most sense that we begin to explore what behaviors he's talking about. And in order to do that, we have to explore the context of chapter 4. Let's look at that, starting in verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, in other words, let's just put it in plain English, stop lying. Stop lying. Well, it's just a little white lie. There's no such a thing. There is no little white lie. It's a lie or it's not. It's pretty black and white. Stop lying. Speak truth to one another. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In other words, we're brothers and sisters. Stop lying to each other. Goodness sakes, did you know that lying grieves the Holy Spirit? And when we say that lying grieves the Holy Spirit, that means that when you engage in that behavior, Holy Spirit lifts off of you and leaves. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. No, stop doing stupid stuff and he won't leave. That should be the new lyric for that song. Take not your Holy Spirit. No. Holy Spirit, like, help bring conviction to identify the things that are offensive to you, because I don't want to grieve your heart. It's all on me. It's not on God. Do you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament? Oh, it's as scary as any story could be. You have Ananias and Sapphira in the middle of revival. You know, everybody begins to sell their properties. And by the way, they didn't sell everything because another verse says they met from house to house. See, this is a big misnomer. They sold everything. They're socialists. No, they were very well off, and they sold property that they didn't need. And they all pooled it together and launched the first church. And they still met house to house. How could they do that if they sold their house? Just saying. Got to correct these things as we get to them. Yeah, so they were selling properties, they were selling extra things, maybe extra homes, maybe like Lydia, they had more than one home. They were like, no, I think I can contribute that to the building of the first church. We can sow that in. And they're all doing that, and revival was breaking forth, and everybody was a part of it, and Ananias and Sapphira. They thought, they just worked among themselves. Hey, babe, listen, I think we can work this to our favor. Why don't we sell that piece of property that we don't need? And we will tell the church and the elders that we sold it for 10 grand, right? But the truth is we sold it for 15. Then we'll take that five, we'll head out to Hawaii. Just you and me, babe. You know, like nobody even needs to know about it. We'll just like, you know what I mean? And we'll look really good in front of the church. But do you remember what the Apostle Peter said when he confronted them? Ananias, you haven't lied to man, but you have lied to God. Well, the strange thing about the passage is they did lie to man. They lied to the whole church. They lied to the apostles. They lied to everybody. But God took it personally. You see that? God took it personally. When you lie to other people, God takes it personally. He's offended by it. And he will lift up off of you, and he will leave. If you want Holy Spirit to rest on you and remain, you need to rid dishonesty from your life in every form. Verse 26. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. How many of you know that anger is a normal response to injustice? It's a normal human response to injustice, and God actually designed it, and it's okay for you to get angry. It's what you do in and with that anger that causes the problem. Are you with me? It's not the anger itself. That's normal. God gave you that. It's for a purpose. It makes sense for you to be outraged at injustice. Without anger, probably no social justice project would ever get done. But what are you doing with it? It says, obviously, we can no longer go forward and sin in our anger. You know, when you sin in your anger, and I think I don't need to make that clear. I think we all probably understand what that looks like. It actually opens up a door in your life for the enemy to come and to bring destruction to you and all of your relationships. When you open up that door, it's a landing zone on your heart where he comes and he takes full advantage of you. And the result is that a root of bitterness begins to develop in your heart. And the word says it defiles you and it defiles all the relationships around you. The next thing you know, you've got rage and like everything makes you angry. And like when you don't respond properly, like sometimes in your relationships, you stuff it away under the rug because you don't respond properly. And you're like, okay, it's fine. But then the next time somebody steps on the rug, man, there's another explosion. Did you know that your explosions, inappropriately expressed, sinfully expressed in your relationships, cause Holy Spirit to lift off and to leave? Your issue of anger causes Holy Spirit to leave you. Again, I know there's not a single person who wants the Holy Spirit to leave in the sense in which he is on you for purpose. So stop sinning and your anger. Learn how to appropriately deal with the stuff that's happening on the inside of you. Deal with your issues. And I'll tell you this, I think that this passage is one of the keys to why we've got a great marriage. 22 years ago-ish, just a smidge less, we got married, and one of the first things we talked about was this verse. We will never let the sun go down on our anger. Well, what does that mean? That means you need to deal with your junk today. If she offends you, and it's always the woman that offends the guy, so If you're offended by your spouse, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because when you do, you usually wake up the next morning, it's swept under the rug, and you're like, okay, it's fine, I'm not going to deal with it. You know, and it begins to literally poison your heart against them. And it begins to bring separation in your heart against them. And then the next time something similar or something maybe not similar at all comes along, it trips you right back into the same cycle. And after a while, you're pretty doggone tired of the cycle. Don't let the sin go down on your anger. Deal with your junk in the day you're offended. Deal with it. Walk through it. Get yourself into a place of actual and genuine humility. And come in and repent. Why is it always me who has to say sorry? She never says sorry. Get over it. Well, I'm not going to do anything until they do it first, until they take the first step. No, that's ignorant. That's absolutely stupid. And the Holy Spirit's not a part of it. You understand? Be a man, be a woman, take the first step, suck it up, get humble, get in there and go, hey, we had a minute earlier. Are we okay? That one thing that you said, that really hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Get in there and flesh it out. Don't let the sun go down your ear. But I've got work tomorrow. I got to be up at 5 a.m. Okay, then value your work over your relationship. Your choice. I mean, you can either obey the word and deal with your junk and thus create an atmosphere where Holy Spirit will actually use you, or you cannot and ruin your relationship and Holy Spirit won't be involved because he'll have left a long time ago. We all right? You haven't had me get hard with you in a while, so it was time. Verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with those who have need. Now, I'm very aware that most of you in this audience probably are not kleptomaniacs. Okay, that one doesn't apply to me. You're probably not going to be like, you know, sitting at the Casey's trying to pay for your gas and secretly pulling a piece of gum out from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably not going to be you. You're probably not going to go down to the mall and try a shirt on in the drying room and try to see if you can get out with it, right? You know, I saw a picture the other day, a video of a gal loaded up her cart at Walmart, just stinking, walked right out the front door. And I was like, wait, can you do that? Because I got some stuff I need. You know, just crazy stuff. Probably those of you in here, maybe some of you out there, I don't know, online with us, maybe not. You know, you're probably not going to be found doing that. But we're prone to compromise in other areas. You know, like maybe fudging just a little bit on your taxes just because, well, if I said that or did that or claimed that or whatever, it wouldn't be quiet, right? Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? Isn't that still stealing? I mean, and in this crowd, you know, what about downloading songs illegally off the internet? Well, it's okay. They're out there. Somebody's got to do it. Still stealing, isn't it? I mean, pirating anything. What do? You order Redbox DVDs and you record them, put them at home, save them for later, right? It's still stealing, isn't it? And when we engage in those kinds of behaviors, what is it for you? What is it? What are the areas where you've compromised? Where you're like, probably you don't even know. Holy Spirit, help us, because we've gotten so seared in our conscience in this area that we've like. And this is the other thing that happens when we give a little bit of a runway to the enemy. He comes with a branding iron and sears our conscience, and we don't even know anymore. We don't even remember. We don't even like. We're so compromised in this area, we can't even recognize it in our lives. Help us to recognize it in our lives, Holy Spirit. Because he can't rest on you. He'll flee from that kind of behavior. And here's the other part of it. Like, God can't bless a lack of integrity. The other day, Misty and I, we bought a ceiling fan. This was the kind of deal where, you know, it was like 2 years of saving, and we had gift card. We had like, okay, so we had 2 return cards from stuff we had returned from various things. We had 2 gift cards and something else and some cash from stuff. This is like a 2-year-old deal. I had a stack of stuff. We were like, so sorry to you in line, but this is the ceiling fan we've been dreaming about. I know it sounds dumb, but here we are, right? And we're like, there's one. 30 years later, there's another one. Come on, bless God. This is awesome. And we got out to the car and we're loading this thing up, and I was kind of looking over my receipt as I typically do. And because of all of the shenanigans, like the totals meant nothing. You know what I mean? Like when they say it's gonna cost you this much, I didn't mean any of that. Well, like by the time you have the 15th card, you have no idea what's going on anymore. And so I'm kind of looking through it all, and I realized the top one on the list was we purchased some other things. The top one on the list was this fan, but the fan that was listed on my receipt was not the fan that we purchased, and it was $80 cheaper. Seriously, I'm like, this is a good day. This is a good day, right? How many of you? Don't raise your hands, but I'm like, and we can do a couple of things, right? We can be like, bless God, oh my soul. Yes, God, this is who I'm talking about. This is the favor of God. And you can load that bad boy up and be like, cha-ching, $80. Did I tell you it was $80 savings? $80 in my pocket. Yeah. And you can over-spiritualize it. You can do whatever you want. But how many of you know you just ripped off Lowe's? I'm sorry if I'm ruining your life. And here's the other part of it. I'm in this moment, I'm done. I've checked the task off my list. I want to go home. We had other things to do. I'm not a shopper anyway, you know? And so I'm just ready to go and call it a day. Hey, just take the savings and forget about it, you know? But Misty goes, I don't think this is going to work out. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's not going to work. And so we go back in and we have to go through the whole process all over again because we used 15 gift cards. It was horrible. I got to call so-and-so manager to the front desk. 15 years later, they show up. You know what I mean? And I'm literally here going, lady, seriously, like I'm doing you a favor. Like you got to do something for me. We didn't get like a good customer discount. Usually they'd be like, we're so sorry for the inconvenience. Here's 10% off. We know that it was our system that was jacked up, and we're so sorry that you had to spend another half an hour here dealing with it because you have integrity. But yeah, that's what we did. And we walked out of there with a fan that we paid $80 more for, but it was right on the receipt. How many of you know we compromise in so many areas, but God cannot bless a lack of integrity? We go into scenarios like that. We think that we're saving $80. We may even over-spiritualize it, but at the end of the day, we just rip somebody off. And when we rip somebody off, God can't bless it. So where we think that we're saving the 80 up front, and you did, kind of, the hand of God lifts off of your life. The favor of God lifts off your life. And the areas where he would have saved it, where he would have blessed you back, where he would have cut a corner, he's no longer going to be able to do because he can't bless lack of integrity. It's time to stop compromising. Do you know how many times I've gone back to the counter and said, this receipt isn't right. I owe you more money. More times than I can count. And I'm cheap. I'd like the discount instead. You know what? But my God gives me the discount because of integrity. You better believe that's exactly how it works. If you want Holy Spirit to lift off your life, continue to compromise in this area. Verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to the hearer. This word unwholesome that's written here is the word rotten, and we've talked about this just a little bit. It would be as if you walked up to somebody and you gave them a rotten apple. They were like, I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry. I need something to nourish me. And you walk up and you hand them a rotten apple, and they're like, dude, like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, it's neither nourishing or like comforting or good in any way. It's just repulsive. And it smells bad. Like, thank you so much. Why did you puke that into my hand? What is this? It's a rotten apple. I should have said tomato or potato because those are the worst. Here's a rotten potato. Ever get one of those on your hand? Oh, good grief. God did that just for this illustration. I'm telling you. That's the only reason they smell that bad. But that's what it means. Don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth. As you in your dealings with your relationship with other people, don't give them a rotten potato. What's a rotten potato? It's anything that comes out of your mouth that is dripping with negativity. It's anything that comes out of your mouth that, quite honestly, that puts fear on somebody. You know, it's anything that comes out of your mouth that makes somebody feel worse for your having been there. Right? That's what it is. That's what this rotten fruit is. I think I've got another couple of things. It's something that tears down negativity. Anything that's judgmental. You know, it's a judgmental word. You know, and you can do that when you're talking with somebody who you know, but the judgmental word can be released about somebody out there. But because that somebody's not present, you think it's okay. No, whether they're present or not, it's still a rotten apple, and Holy Spirit retreats. He doesn't want anything to do with that dialogue. Don't let anything proceed from your mouth. And so what he's saying is this: if what you're saying doesn't release hope in the hearer, keep your mouth shut. That's what he's saying. If what you're saying doesn't actually encourage them and build them up in some way, then keep your mouth shut. I mean, we culturally speaking, we know these things. It's like, well, my mama said, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Yeah, that's actually scripture. Where has that word gone in the social media era? Don't have anything good to say. Yeah, shut your mouth. You are not causing any good. Like, you've got like one of those potato cannons and you're shooting rotten potatoes out like just like mass, shotgun style. Like they're like in little bits all over people. Like, you know, well, somebody's got to talk about politics. Okay, all right, okay, all right. The Holy Spirit isn't, so not like that. What do you think happens when Holy Spirit is peace and when peace defines a third of the kingdom? What do you think happens when you engage in conversations like that? You completely blow your top. I remember something about anger being in here. And you begin to respond with venom towards other people. Where do you think Holy Spirit is in that? Oh, I lost my peace on this one, but boy, they needed a piece of my mind. No, Holy Spirit's gone. He's long gone. He was gone while you were still talking about what you were going to talk about on the inside of your head. He was like, I'm out. I'm not going to be a part of that. If you want Holy Spirit to rest on you and remain, you have to begin to guard your tongue. Verse 30, we've already read, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath, the word wrath is, boy, I'm going to let them have it. I am going to let them have it. You ever heard somebody say that? Ever say that yourself? There it is on the list. Yeah, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that clamor means crying out. You're getting loud about it, making a big scene, being disrespectful, and slander. That's when you begin to demonize somebody. You ever in a relationship and they do something to hurt you and so you rise to the challenge, exchange evil for evil? I think the Bible says something about that. And then you begin to, I didn't mean it. I was just saying something out of anger. No, that's absolutely garbage. Complete garbage. Oh, I didn't mean it. Yeah, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Bible says. No, you did mean it. You got something nasty, you got a rotten apple buried down in there and you just spewed it out on somebody. The Bible literally says Holy Spirit is not a part of it. He cannot use you, he cannot rest on you, he will not minister through you. He certainly won't remain. He's so good that he might do a one-off with somebody because he loves them enough to use you. You are the only one standing there, but he's sure as heck going to retreat from you because he didn't want anything apart of the way that you're acting and behaving. This is what it's talking about, slandering somebody. Put it all away from you, the word says, along with all malice. This is ill will towards somebody, a desire to injure. I've heard this, and I know that sometimes it's said in jest, but now like this new phrase is, go die in a hole. Go kill yourself. I hear that garbage all over the place. There it is right there. Go kill yourself. Holy moly, how have we ever gotten to this place in our society where that's an acceptable thing to say to somebody? But here it is. And if you're talking like that, Holy Spirit can't be a part of it. Be kind to one another now in contrast. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God and Christ has also forgiven you. Maybe you didn't notice this, but I find it interesting that all of the things that grieve the Holy Spirit happen to be the way that I interact with other human beings. Did you notice that? Love God, love people. Our love for people is an expression of our love for God and our relationship with Him. And here it is again coming out. All the way that we deal with other human beings are some of the things that cause the Holy Spirit to lift off of us and render us useless for His purposes, for His work. Think of it like this. If Holy Spirit is in me for my sake, but upon me for the sake of others, if my heart isn't right towards others, how could Father ever trust me with Holy Spirit when Holy Spirit was given for others? Is this making sense? Father, this morning we just give you our hearts. The whole purpose of this series is to invite you to expose the stuff on the inside of us that's prohibitive in our relationship, in this case with Holy Spirit. We want you. We want more of you. We want to be those who are abundantly aware, or as the word says of the first church, continually filled with Holy Spirit. We don't want to get outside of these four walls and be completely disconnected with you and have to always come back in for a little feel-good party because, you know, between Wednesday and Sunday, we just lost everything. As soon as we walked out the front door, we power washed off the things of the Spirit and went right back to ugly behavior and the way that we deal with people. That's not what we want. We want to host you well. We want to live in tandem with you. We want to connect with you. We want to find the river. We want to lay back in our raft in the lazy river and allow the current of the Holy Spirit to take us wherever you desire. We don't want to step out of the banks. We don't want to step out of the river. We don't want to do our own thing. We don't want to live our own life. We don't want to be God of our own life. We don't want to be God of our relationships. We invite you, come and change us, God. Change the way that we operate. And if in the New Testament you could look over people who were wounded in their soul and say, go and sin no more, then I, in your name, can say the same right now. And so to you I say, go and sin no more. And then may the grace of God be released over you to modify your behavior, to modify your thinking, and to have your lives radically altered as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.